Thank you for spending your evening here with me on the eve of September 11th as we look back in remembrance of this tragic day. Let's take a quick call east of the Rockies. Greg in North New Jersey, you're on Coast to Coast AM.
Yes, that day 15 years ago was really quite pleasant in the morning here in the greater metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. I remember I was actually off that day, which is really weird because I work in Midtown Manhattan. And a couple hours after that happened, I went over to see a gentleman who had been a city firefighter, in fact, city fire captain for almost 30 years. He was retired. And I said, what do you think? He goes, controlled demolition. Classic. They're going to get away with this. The gentleman was my father, who's now been in heaven about 10 years. Later that afternoon, in the diner in town, we could actually see the smoke from where we lived at. Gentleman who was one of the supervising construction guys for the foundation of the World Trade Center, I saw him. I said, hi, how you doing? What do you think about all this? He goes, ah, my boy, Irish guy, controlled demolition. Unbelievable. It's a classic. And I was like, you sure? He goes, absolutely. The guy had built buildings all around the world. And that's when I went, oh, my God, no. So for those, you know, from there I had suspicions as a whole. We could talk for a couple hours about that since. The second thing, if I may, is that for all the folks, especially out west and down south, you want to do something about the World Trade Center victims? Ask if your congressmen, if they're big heroes, how many times they voted against the User Drug Act, which would help the people through the years. It's not like it passed, but it took, you know, like 13 and a half years for this. Those, every one of those congressional people should be kicked out this year. So if you want to do something patriotic, talk to your congressman about that. And the last thing, if I may, is there's a reason why Mrs. Whitman, our former governor, basically said the air was clean. And this is what the gentleman who was the supervisor of construction there told me. Her husband, Todd Whitman, was, guess what? He was the underwriter, insurance underwriter for the World Trade Center. Have you heard that anywhere?
Nope.
Of course not. This is New Jersey, for crying out loud. I mean,
Greg, that day, you said beautiful day, clear skies. What was it like when it happened? I mean, New Jersey, you're right there. You're able to see the aftermath of this. Talk to me a little bit about that aspect.
Well, we could see it from the hill where I live, 30 miles away. You could literally see it. And it was a shock. It was absolute shock. It was like, yikes, what's going on here? And those of us, we're thinking, you know, in a horrible way, well, if you really want to do some damage, if they are, you know, we heard about the route really fast about the flight from Boston, and somebody said, well, if they were really out to make a mess, why didn't they fly down from Albany down the Hudson River and hit Storm King, the giant nuclear power plants? And everybody said, oh, Jesus, don't even think that. But in retrospect, I guess, it was a horrible day, and several people from our town passed. But the overall thing is, you know, there's a lot more to this than anybody talks about. And, you know, my pop, 30 years, fire captain, New York City, best in the world, right? He's in heaven 10 years now almost. He was convinced from that day, and nothing could prove otherwise, that it was, if you will, a controlled demolition classic. So take that with you, folks. A little gift from New Jersey, if you will.
Thank you for calling in, Greg, and being a part of the show. When we return, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, will join us. We'll discuss 9/11, the psychic ramifications to the world, what a tragedy like that does to the world, to the energy, to the records, whatever you want to consider it. How does that affect and impact us through all time? Is that ripple effect felt through all time? We'll discuss that and more, and we'll open up phone lines again in the fourth hour tonight. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening and welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm your host, Dave Schrader. I stayed home 15 years ago on September 11th. I had woken up with a massive migraine. I could barely lift my head off the pillow and stayed home from work ill that day. And I can still remember that moment when my wife burst into the room and said, America is under attack. It was so surreal. It was so bizarre to hear those words in 2001 coming out of anybody's mouth. America is under attack. And I said, what do you mean America is under attack? And she said, planes are hitting buildings around the United States. and I turned on the TV and caught the coverage just as the second plane crashed into the second tower. It was like something from Independence Day or Roland Emmerich's Godzilla movie, watching these disasters happen. It was so fake, and maybe we'd been so desensitized because we'd seen this type of destruction done time and time again in movies. It felt surreal and impossible that I was watching this unfold on TV in front of me. My wife and I sat there on the bed holding hands, just watching the devastation and the reactions of the people in New York. And like most of the people of the world, I sat glued to the TV in utter astonishment and amazement, watching as the entire day unfolded and hearing more and more about the attacks. And then watching the buildings come down, the screams, the terror, the plumes of smoke and dust coating everything. I was numb and emotional in the same moment. And I've never felt that in my life, and God hope I will never feel that again. And there were these waves of grief and guilt that struck me as I watched this, and I watched people fall to their deaths, and I heard about the brave men and women of New York City running into buildings to save people as the buildings began to collapse, realizing that the tragedy didn't just end on that day, that we would feel this aftermath for 15 years and forever in the United States. It will never go away. What occurred that day, the tragedy and the horrendous nature, whoever was involved in doing this, whatever angle you want to take, the takeaway is we as a people lost on that day. Many people deal with the survivor's guilt and remorse. Many are still struggling with the grief of that incident, unsure how to process that. How do you process watching people fall to their deaths, watching buildings collapse in, taking the lives of heroes running in to save others? And what is the ramification of that day in a more metaphysical realm, in a larger scale, through all of time and space? What does something like that do to impact our world? Joining me for the remainder of tonight's show is the author of Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits for Proof of the Afterlife, and the award-winning Never Letting Go, Healing Grief with Help from the Other Side. Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, is the author of Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. He is a world-renowned fourth-generation psychic medium who communicates with spirits. Mark is an Oxford-educated attorney licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. In England, he studied mediumship at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. Tonight, the ramifications of 9/11 on the world and dealing with survivors' guilt and remorse. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here to discuss such a prolific and powerful and sad event in our history.
15 years have passed in the blink of an eye. And maybe for me in the blink of an eye, because I'm insulated in the middle of the country and it was there on my TV, but I was not there watching it. And I didn't feel the immediate ramifications of everyday life being completely interrupted as they did on the East Coast. Just as many of us don't know what it's like to have dealt with the brutal storms and floodings that have happened in the South and off to the West, and you get into this insular world where it's all about you. And then you see the horrific nature of these documentaries, and you realize, and you see the film footage from the news, and you see what's going on in the world around you. And it's terrifying time to be alive right now. I mean, it's an exciting time, Mark, and it's a great time, but how do we start to put into perspective what we're dealing with. And as a grief expert and counselor, you know, how do we rise above? How do we pick ourselves up from the ashes of the devastation that we felt from everything from 9/11 and on that have hit our country? It just seems like we're always taking a roundhouse to the jaw somewhere. And I don't know that anybody's even really had a chance to heal yet.
Dave, that's the story of the very sad story of human history and the dark side of it. 9/11 brought out so many issues that we have to confront. And the fact of the matter is, human history is filled with horrific events, genocide, oppression, warfare that's always been going on. And 9/11 happened in the internet age and in a time of mass media where it came into our living rooms. It came into our computers, our cell phones. It became very personal. And it was not some remote event we were insulated from that we heard on a radio and weren't able to visualize it like people maybe did years and years ago. We saw it in gory graphic detail. And for our generation, this was our Pearl Harbor, because 70-plus years ago, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, people were hearing about it. They were reaching out emotionally to the servicemen and women and to the citizens and people living in Hawaii, Honolulu, that were under attack. 9/11, we all became New Yorkers. There was no more, oh, I'm from Florida, or you're from Minnesota, or someone's from New Mexico. 9/11, the horrific tragedy, brought it all home and personal to us. And it also opened up the door to show how horrific what human beings can do to each other. But on the flip side of the coin, it also showed how incredibly caring, compassionate, and amazing people can be in these dire times. It showed the very best that humanity and our society has to offer. And to all the first responders, the New York City Police Department, New York City Fire Department, the U.S. military, the brave citizens of New York, New Jersey, and everywhere else that dealt with it, I am humbled by your response to this prolific and horrifying event.
And I think people do need to realize that. I mean, we see in this event the darkness and the cloud that hangs over after this. And sometimes we forget that there were people from around the world and around the United States that got in their vehicles and immediately drove to get there to help, to do anything, passing out water, passing out blankets, passing out food, donating blood, anything they could to try to make a difference. And it, as you said, this was a horrific tragedy that also showed an amazing brilliance of light and love from complete strangers. And, you know, the only one thing I disagree in your statement is we didn't all become New Yorkers. I think that day we all became Americans again, and we all became human.
I'll yield to you on that one, Dave, absolutely. Because, I've spent a lot of time in Britain, and Tony Blair, who was the prime minister at the time, that was the largest attack on British citizens. I think there were 300, you know, there could be more British citizens that were killed in the Twin Towers. Yesterday was a very prolific day for me, Dave, because I was in Washington, D.C., and I drove by the Pentagon and saw the Pentagon Memorial to the 9/11 attack. Now, we always focus on the World Trade Center, which absolutely we should, but there were four planes involved, and one of them hit the Pentagon, and I was part of the honor flight yesterday, and if you'll bear with me because this ties into our discussion tonight. The Honor Flight is a volunteer organization that takes veterans from World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and there's a veteran, and they're each assigned a guardian. My dad's one of the veterans from World War II, and I was privileged and honored to be his guardian. And because these gentlemen and ladies, because there's also a lot of female vets, they are flown to Washington for one day, and it's a very intense day. We met at 3 a.m. at the collection point. The military was out in force to honor these people. They are flown, thank you Southwest Airlines for volunteering to do this, to Washington, D.C., and were given police escorts to all of the monuments, because this started because a number of vets were unable to afford being able to see the monuments in Washington, D.C. that were erected to them. And throughout the course of the day, we saw the Pentagon, the Air Force Memorial, Iwo Jima, World War II, very, very emotional for my father, Vietnam, a memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Women's Memorial, the Changing of the Guard at Arlington Cemetery. If you haven't ever experienced that, please put that on your list of things to do. And what I saw, Dave, is that in the case of the nine World War II vets that were among the 25 vets traveling with us, what happened was over 70 years ago, but the pain and anguish was as real as if it happened yesterday. And these men are suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder. And 9/11 brought that post-traumatic stress disorder up close and personal to all of us, and it made every single person, anyone with compassion or feeling, realize that this is a very real thing. We're still feeling it today. So when you said it's a blink of an eye, even though it was 15 years ago, I still feel it. Post-traumatic stress disorder and the anguish and terror and horror that people go through in these situations, it could be a decade and a half, or in the case of my father, 7 decades ago, but it's just as real as when it happened. And this is sadly part of being a human being, but how we respond to that and how we endure that is also part of being a human being.
The ramifications of a world event like that, when something so destructive, so hate-filled, so devastating to not just one city or one country, this had ripple effects, good, bad, and indifferent around the world. When you look at it from a psychic perspective, Mark, is that something that the world ever recovers from? Because that energy that was expended, that anguish, that horror was so massive. I mean, is that something that we'll ever truly get through?
Yes and no. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We know this from the laws of physics. But also in the realm of faith, every great religion has an explanation of that. In the Hinduism, Buddhism, there's karma. Whatever you do comes back to you. In Christianity, whatever a man shall sow, he shall reap. So there's nothing unusual about the concept of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I'm not being flippant when I say this. George Lucas and people like James Cameron, like in Avatar and in Star Wars, and they talk about the Force and, you know, the light and the dark and the ramifications of things. We're all energetically interconnected. And you know, you and I have had these discussions both on this show and on Darkness Radio about quantum energy, quantum consciousness, and how we're all energetically interconnected. And when you brought up Evidence of Eternity, my latest book, it starts on 9/11. Because one of my cousins was in one of the towers when the second plane hit.
Well, let's talk about that. We have to go to break. We'll talk about that and talk about your book, Evidence of Eternity, and that starting off point on 9/11 when we return. Today is 9/11. Bow your head in remembrance and honor those people that lost their lives today by living your life to the fullest and being kind to everyone that you come into contact with. That would be the best honor. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for joining me this evening as we look back in remembrance of 9/11 and those that lost their lives, the impact it's had on our world, and more. If you've missed any part of tonight's show, and you'd like to catch up on it, or you'd like to hear any of the shows you've missed in the past, we've made it as easy as we can for you. Just go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. Your one-year membership breaks down only 15 cents a day. That 15 cents gets you over 5 years of past archives, thousands upon thousands of hours of amazing content, all the type of topics you love to hear right here. And you can pick and choose whatever you like to listen to, whenever you like to listen to. You take it on with you. There's even a coast-to-coast app that you can use. So go sign up. Become a Coast Insider right now, and you'll find out what so many people know all around the world. We are the best in overnight talk radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, this evening. And remember, if you like what you hear on Coast to Coast AM and you'd like to know more, you can also check out George's TV show, Beyond Belief, beyondbelief.com. All the information is there. You get a chance to get a deeper, more in-depth and visual look and perspective of stories that we cover on Coast to Coast AM with George's particular flair and insightful imagery of the different topics. So go check out beyondbelief.com to get your information. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the psychic ramifications and dealing with the grief of a loss like 9/11 across the world. Is this something that will continue to impact us? And does that energy still affect us today? We'll talk about that and more when we return with our guest, Mark Anthony, here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. Finally, after 3.5 years, Tim, the stumbling has begun. Our guest this evening is Mark Anthony, and we're discussing 9/11. Your book, Evidence of Eternity, the first chapter opens up with 9/11. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about this personal story to you?
Yes. When we were talking about psychic ramifications, and we'll come back to a deeper discussion about that, because in the first chapter, in May 2001, I was in New York City, and I was up there for a family reunion, and I was going to visit my cousin, who invited us on a tour of offices in the World Trade Center. And I looked up at the two Twin Towers, and it was a beautiful day. And all of a sudden, I hunched over, and I said, oh, my God, because I had this overwhelming nausea, and for like a split second I felt like I saw things falling, and I remember my cousin's like, dude, what's your problem? And my niece was like, hey, leave Uncle Mark alone, you know how he is. And I just felt this terrible sensation, and it's not the first time I felt things like that in my life. And certainly my mother, who's also a medium, picked up on something like that a month before the MGM Grand fire in Las Vegas some years earlier. And I refused to go into the World Trade Center because I kept saying, you know, if something happens, you'll be trapped there. And then 4 months later was September 11th, and I was in my office, and one of the other attorneys working with me, the door of my office flew open. He goes, my God, this is crazy. The World Trade Center in New York's under attack. And I'm like, what? And we were trying to find out on the internet, and back then most people were not using high speed. Everybody's using dial up, and all phone lines were jammed. And then my mom called up, and she said, "There's things falling out of the World Trade Center. Oh my God, it's people!" And we didn't know what was happening. And I was trying to get hold of my cousin, and then it dawned on me, oh my God, I had a premonition that something was going to happen. You know, a lot of people say, well, then, you know, why don't you say something? But the problem with premonitions is they don't generally come with a time and a date stamp. It's not like when you get a vision, there's a crawl at the bottom like you see on TV that says, oh, by the way, on September 11th, this is going to happen. And my cousin, who survived this, he was in an elevator when one of the planes hit, and then getting bounced around in there, and the doors flew open, and he was able to get out, and then the elevator burst into flames, and he saw the people burning to death, and he managed to get downstairs, and then he was almost hit by a body which fell, and he got trampled in the crowd. And then seeing him a year later, and this was a different person, absolutely different person. So 9/11 not only affected all of us as a nation and any conscious thinking person in the world, it affected my family directly and very, very personally. And that's why I started doing my work with survivor guilt, because I could see how my cousin felt that he should not have lived. Now, for the benefit of the listeners, survivor guilt occurs when someone feels that they've done something wrong because they've survived a traumatic event when others have not. We see this a lot with parents who've lost a child. Even if the parent may not have been present when the child died, the parent feels, I should have been there. Why did I survive? Why is my child going before me? In several readings that I've done where I connect people that are here with their loved ones on the other side, I did a reading for a gentleman about a year ago. And, you know, he came in with his girlfriend who's wearing T-shirts, you know, a T-shirt and jeans. And all of a sudden, I picked up on five male energies around him and a loud explosion. And I said, there's uniforms, and this feels like military. And he broke down, and he said that he was Delta Force, and his Humvee hit an IED. He was the commander of this unit, and all his guys were killed. All five of them were killed except him, and he feels that he should have died, not them. And so with 9/11, so many of the family members of the people that were trapped in the Twin Towers or in the Pentagon, or the folks who died on the planes, and even people who may not have been directly connected to the victims of this, are experiencing this type of guilt that why was it them, or why was it her or him and not me? And this is a very, very normal and a very, very human feeling that affects a lot of people. And Dave, one of the parts of healing is confronting and embracing and acknowledging that this is happening. Because 9/11 occurred in an era when it's now okay for men and women to discuss their feelings openly, and now it's an acknowledgement that you are feeling guilty, you are experiencing survivor guilt, and by that acknowledgement, that's an important step in the direction of healing and recovering from this, if you ever fully recover at all.
As somebody that has sensitivities like you do, and more open to them, and I know so many people say, well, we all have that that possibility or that ability within us, but many of us aren't as tapped in. Is there, when something like that happens, Mark, is there a wave that you as a sensitive felt? As that many lives came to a tragic end, as that much fear pulsated, or was it an overload to somebody like you because of the amount of energy and emotion that poured out across the world?
All of the above. Everybody's capable of having a psychic experience, but not everyone is, quote-unquote, a psychic. And I want to explain what I mean by psychic. The term psychic means acquiring information that you can't by, quote-unquote, normal sensory means. We have five physical senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And the sixth sense enables us to perceive things that the five senses do not. And a lot of people doubt this, they reject it, but then when they start getting these feelings, for all the listeners out there who are parents, how many times, ask yourself this, how many times have you just gotten a feeling that something bad was going on with your child, that he or she was being injured, and then you found out that it was correct, and you didn't get a text or a phone call, you weren't there, you just knew? And people will believe that, but, you know, when you stick the word psychic or ESP or sixth sense, then they start to begin to doubt it, because people fear and question what they don't understand. The fact of the matter is we're all energetically interconnected. So when something like 9/11 happens, you pick up on the dense energy vibrations. In my first book, Never Letting Go, I wrote about when I was 19 and I was a college student, and I was in Munich on a college trip, and we decided on a fluke to go to Dachau concentration camp. Well, I wasn't prepared for the overload of the energy and of the visions that I was overwhelmed with at Dachau, picking up on the energy and the residual energy of all the people that have been tortured there. And more recently, and this is and the only reason I'm saying this is because this all occurred in rooms full of people. This was documented. I was giving a gallery presentation where I was connecting loved ones in spirit with audience members, and then I started picking up on Paris, France, images of Paris. And there was a couple of people who said, well, I've been there, but it wasn't really relevant. And then the next day, the massacre in Paris happened. And then a couple months ago, I was in Sedona, and I was doing another gallery event in front of a room full of people at the Sedona Spirit Symposium, where I was one of the speakers. And I kept picking up on Orlando. And then just a couple hours later, the Orlando massacre at the Pulse nightclub occurred. And for people like myself and like you, Dave, who study this type of phenomenon, we know that we're all energetically interconnected, and there appears to be ripples, if you will, in the energetic fabric that we're all connected to. And the ripples or the energy of negative events is denser, more intense. The way I describe it is, if you ever held a guitar, you know, right, the E string, the high E string has that ding, real high frequency. And then there's the low E string has that very dense vibration, which, you know, when you hold the guitar, I mean, you can actually feel it. You can feel it in the physical sense as well as in the hearing sense. And energetically, that's the same with a negative event. Negative events like 9/11, Orlando, Paris, I mean, you can go on, emit this immense negative dense vibration, which a lot of people pick up on. Like a mom feeling that, oh my gosh, something happened to my daughter, and all of a sudden she gets a phone call confirming that sensation. This phenomenon happens to pretty much everybody. So this is a real thing. We're just now beginning to understand it, and 9/11 really, really brought this to the forefront.
Yeah, I'm curious. We talked about survivor's guilt and grief and remorse. As somebody who gets visions, if you will, or gets premonitions of things like this occurring, does the survivor guilt or the realization, I saw this, I knew this, I sensed this, and there's nothing I can do, does that ever cause depression or massive grief to you?
It can. I remember observing this back, I believe it was 1981, is in the early 80s, and my parents were in Las Vegas, and the MGM Grand had just been built, and they walked into it. And this is in Evidence of Eternity, and this is where I'm writing about energy, and because in Evidence of Eternity, I explain these phenomena in terms of science, quantum physics, and human physiology. And my mother was walking around in the lobby and started to sweat profusely. She says, I can't breathe. I'm so hot. And my dad's looking at her going, what's going on? And she said, this place is a tomb. It's a tomb. It's a tomb. And she kept repeating that over and over, and she had to get out of there. And just a couple weeks later, a fire broke out, which killed 84 people and injured over 500 others. And it was an electrical fire, and it started burning PVC pipe, which got into the air ducts, and people were asphyxiated. And henceforth, my mom was picking up, I can't breathe, and the sweating was the fire. And I'll never forget going over her house and visiting her, and she said, look at the television. And there was the MGM Grand, and they were talking about the horror that happened there. And I could see, she said, if only I could have done something. If only I could have done something. And we used to have these discussions. It's like, just because we can see something or pick up on something, number one, doesn't mean we can change it. And number two, what if she'd gone to the management of the MGM Grand and said, hi, I'm a psychic, and I think there's going to be a fire here and people are going to die? Or what if I would have called up, you know, somebody in New York City and said, look, I something's going to happen at the World Trade Center? Well, number one, we don't have the time and date stamp. And number two, a lot of people are going to think we're crazy. But you know, Dave, this has happened before. in back in the 30s when the Hindenburg was coming over from Europe. The Hindenburg exploded, and we all know about the Hindenburg disaster. Well, there was a woman in New Jersey who called the, I guess it would be the equivalent of the FBI at the time, was the G-Men, and said that she had a vision of the Hindenburg blowing up over New York City. So, of course, they investigated her and concluded, quote-unquote, she was a crackpot. And then a couple days later, the Hindenburg disaster happened, except it was over New Jersey, not New York. So even if you report something like this, the likelihood of anyone doing anything about it is negligible. And it also shows us that as psychics, we have insights, but we are not omnipotent. We are not necessarily able to change the future just because we may get glimpses of it. And it can be a very, very big responsibility. And I've known a lot of psychics who do suffer depression from their desire to want to affect the change. I mean, if you can do something and you get enough specific information, then absolutely. But that doesn't mean because you have these insights, you somehow have the ability to change people and the way they react to that information.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's the silver lining of not having that ability, or at least not strong, because I don't know how I could survive knowing that. And, you know, to me, it would be maddening to know that you get these messages, these visions, that there's really nothing you can do about other than you're just getting kind of the reflection of it through time because of how traumatic. And do you believe that's what's causing it? It's because of the severity of the trauma, that it's like a rock in the pond, that it doesn't just hit when it hits on 9/11, but that ripple effect goes backwards in time, and that's what's bumping into psychics and mediums and people with sensitivity?
You know, I could not agree with that statement more. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, I don't believe this. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe this. And, of course, hey, that's what our military has been fighting for, is your right to express your feelings and your belief in this country. And, you know, 100 years ago, in 1916, Albert Einstein theorized gravitational waves. And it was a theory, and a lot of the scientists of the day scoffed at it and rebuffed it and said, you know, they can't prove it. Well, this year, LIGO, which is the Laser Interferometer Wave Observatory, which is in part managed by Caltech, discovered gravitational waves, which are ripples in the fabric of space-time, and they're created when two black holes collide. So it took 100 years for one of Einstein's theories to be proven. Number one, the black holes are binary. In other words, two black holes that orbit each other until they collide can be proved. And secondly, that gravitational waves exist. And LIGO indicated that the waves created by this black hole, these two black holes merging, took 1.3 billion years to reach Earth. So let's look at this.
Well, we have to take a break. We'll go in a little bit more in depth in this as we talk about the science of energy and how it affects us right after this on Coast to Coast AM.